I'd like to call the meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay Community Services District for November 15th to order. Can you all please join Director Keys in the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present with the exception of Director Steele.
Now it's time for public comment. If anybody has a comment on an item that is not on tonight's agenda, I ask that you adhere to our three-minute rule. Are there any public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment and move on to the consent calendar.
Move approval.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Item D1's presentation, Byron Delta Lions Club. Linda Barber.
Good evening, members of the board, staff. The Lions Club is celebrating their 100th anniversary this year. The Lions Club is celebrating their 100th anniversary this year, and part of that celebration, they would like to purchase and install a bench for the community, and Linda will tell you more about it now.
Well, the bench is a traditional bench. It's made of weatherproof materials that will last supposedly forever. We know how that is. But it would be donated to the community in our name, and I'd like to have it suggested. I would like to suggest that it be permanently affixed to the cement so it doesn't disappear from one reason or another. And this is what it looks like. It looks like wood. It's supposed to look like wood, but it's actually repurposed plastics that have been for this purpose. The company only makes outdoor furniture and the such. So it's a very well-known company by those that purchase community or, I can't think of the word that I'm looking for, but anyway, big time benches and outdoor furniture. We would like to have it engraved, something with not only the Byron Delta Lions, but something in celebration of Byron Delta Lions in the community. Is that 3 minutes?
Do you have all the time you want? Do you have a proposed location?
I've been speaking with Brian about it, and he suggested maybe somewhere at the community center. I would just say where it could be appreciated the most. In the front by the doors, in the back by the pool. I've been back by the pool during swimming lessons, and it's not really good seating back there. So that's my initial
idea. Well, you get any questions from the board?
No, thank you.
It's a great idea, and we appreciate everything that the Delta Lions do for the community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, special district recognition. The California Special Districts Association, we have Pauline Haley here tonight to make that presentation.
Hi folks, I'm Pauline Haley. I'm your local field coordinator for California Special Districts Association. I represent the Bay Area Network. We have three certificates to present tonight, which is the most I've ever presented at once to a board. So excuse me if I take a few minutes. I have standard talking points we always use to present these awards because they're very specific criteria you have to follow in order to receive them. So I'm just going to go over some of the criteria, the most important things, and then we'll do two presentations. We've got two for two individuals. We'll take in front of the flag, and at the end, if you don't mind, if we could take one of the entire board, and I'll be taking that picture. I don't need to be in that one, but I'd like it for our Facebook as well. So starting off, about the Special District Leadership Foundation. It's a 501c3 not-for-profit dedicated to promoting excellence in special districts through recognition programs that highlight and focus the implementation of best practices. Currently, there are four programs available, two for individuals, the district administrator certificate, and the recognition in special district governance. And then two for districts as a whole, which is District of Accreditation and District Transparency Certificate of Excellence. So you're receiving tonight the recognition in special district governance. which is a program dedicated to honor special district board members and trustees, and is comprised of two parts. The completion of the Special District Leadership Academy, which include the following four courses: governance, foundations, setting direction / community leadership, board role in human resources, and board's role in finance and fiscal accountability. In addition to that, it also requires 10 hours of continuing education received from the California Special Districts Association and or any statewide association specializing in local government. So why is this all important? This recognition is an opportunity for board members and trustees to demonstrate to their constituents and fellow directors the extent of their commitment and dedication to providing the best possible service to the communities they serve. So they work really hard for this. So right now, I'd ask on behalf of the board and staff of the Special District Leadership Foundation, it's my pleasure to present the recognition of Special District Governance both to your GM, Mike Davies, and to board member Bill Mayer in recognition of their commitment and dedication to providing the best possible service to their community they serve. Congratulations, gentlemen. Would you be interested in taking a picture with me by the flag?
I think this is just the board recognition here.
Oh, the humility.
We also received, in recognition of our the board's gold status, recognition from Senator Glazier's office, where we received a Senate certificate. And so I'd like to just pass that around, and we'll put that in an appropriate place. And I would just also like to thank Sue for really cracking the whip on us. And I think she's a big part of our success in this, so thank you, Sue.
Thank you, Sue. Yeah.
just to sort of clarify, I think there's 7 districts in the state of California that have this certification, almost 3,000. So this district and this board has really worked hard to try to do the best we can for the community. Okay, moving on the agenda, area agency reports. He's Dr. Costa Fire. Chief, you want to come up?
Hello, my name is Battalion Chief Ross McCumber of the East Contra Costa Fire District. I'm here on behalf of Chief Helmick tonight. He had a conflict, so I'm filling in for him. So I pre-apologize if I'm not as prepared as I should be, but I'm going to give it a try. There's a couple topics I want to hit on for your board tonight. Let's briefly talk about our ops report from last month. Goes to say that everybody in here was probably affected somehow by the power surge. I'm here to answer any questions about that on our end. Call-wise, it generated a ton of calls for us in just that one day span. And what we noticed as the week went on, we had more calls that started popping up. People who were on vacation who had come home. People who had just been out of town and come home and noticed that something's wrong. So that, even though the bulk was during the week, we spanned out almost over 2 weeks of we were still picking up calls just from that as people got home. While on paper, it looks like we only had 30 incidents on our end. It was actually much higher than that. We estimated between 75 and 100 incidents just from that power surge. What was happening a lot is as a citizen in Discovery Bay would call 911, we would show up in either myself or one of the fire engines. And as we showed up, 4 more neighbors would come out of their house and come flag us down and we go check their houses. So that doesn't generate an official call at that point unless we call them in. But as residents were coming out of their house flagging us down, we would contact PG&E on their behalf and have them come check the houses. It was a very interesting day, to say the least, for Discovery Bay. Other than that, it's been pretty standard for the district. Our call volume keeps going up. We are noticing a significant increase in our medical and both and fire calls. And also with our auto aid agreement with Con Fire, we're noticing that we are going towards their direction for some more fires at this time. However, that auto aid agreement benefits us immensely, so we're not concerned about that. We get help from them, they get help from us. So if anybody has any questions about the power surge calls and how it fire department was, we did so, please ask me. I'll answer them the best I can. Another thing I'd like to talk about is we had some issues about, I know Discovery is concerned about tree removal and what we call hazard abatement of vegetation. It's still on our radar, it's still things we're looking at. This is a district-wide problem for us at this point. So it's not just Discovery Bay, we have a lot of towns in this area that we just have hazard abatement problems. We will be rolling out some PSAs here very soon. Now that wildland season is about coming to an end, this is the time we start pushing the message of abate now. So we don't have to wait till July and figure out what the problem can be then when it's almost too late. So like I said, we're still working on that. We hope to have that really rolled out by about the new year or a bit after and really start pushing that message. Obviously, we want to continue to work with you and the other towns in our district to really start abating these vegetation hazards before they become a problem. Another thing we've noticed, your website information about us, a little behind. So we're offering our assistance to you right now. I have an internal tech committee too in our department, Meadow. So we will be contacting you. We want to get you some updated information and some good links to our website. And that leads me into my next discussion. I don't know if everybody in this room has noticed, we really ramped up our public outreach with our websites and our social media. I'm here to talk a little bit about that. Please go to our new website, go to our Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We're really ramping that up because we want to push our message in a better format. Not everybody can make these meetings, we know that. Even our own members, Chief Helmick is not here tonight because he's trying to be in 2 places at once. So please visit that for the information about the district. We try and do the best we can to give them the most current information. I don't know if you noticed, even go back to the power surge, we were trying to put info out here. This is what PG&E is telling us to tell you. That's how we're going to start operating even better in the future. When things like that happen in the community, we have a bigger incident, we're going to start pushing that out. We're also in the process right now of getting our own next door page for the district. And right now we're in the finalized process with their company. So that's a good thing for us. So we'll be on next door soon. I'm waiting on a couple of emails from Everbridge, which is the parent company of Nixle. I don't know how anybody's heard of Nixle, but it's a wonderful, wonderful application. I personally believe it saved a lot of lives in the Santa Rosa firestorm. As people were getting notifications to leave your home now, they were popping up on their phone and people were going. We are looking into that. I had a big conference call with Nixle last week, so it's something that we're actively looking at. I hope to have that really in play by the new year. So, social media, please come visit us. And make suggestions. If we're doing something not good, please tell us. We'd love to hear. That leads into my final thing. We are having an open house at Station 59 here in Discovery Bay in March. So I invite everybody in this room. Please tell your friends. We're going to be pushing it out here real soon. And it won't just be our fire district. We're going to have other organizations there. We just had an open house in our Oakley Fire Station where we had the Alyssa Ann Ralph Byrne Foundation there. We had AMR there for the kids. We also had the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention there doing a lot of good work. That's just the start. When we do these open houses in the future, it's more of a community event. It's still at our firehouse, but we want the community to be there. We want other organizations to be there. And we truly want to make it an event for the communities that we represent. So again, please come to our open house in March. We'd love to have you all there, and it should be something special. That's a good idea. So.
Do you have a date?
I have to pull it up on my calendar. We'll be rolling out flyers here soon, just some preliminary stuff. And as the date gets on, we can really hammer that down. But we do have a tentative date. I need to pull this up.
In the middle of March.
Okay. Yeah, it's the middle of March. I want to say tentatively March 18th, but don't quite quote me on that yet. March, it's either going to be the 10th or the 24th. Yeah, and I'll get that finalized here.
One question. Can you mention the outreach meeting that you have once a month? I really believe that I've attended that the last couple, and it's a good meeting for residents of Discovery Bay to go to. It's held in Oakley at the fire station there.
Yes.
It's not Brentwood, it's not Oakley, it's everyone in your representation. It would be beneficial, and you do a lot of communications on that as well.
Oh, thank you. Yes, the outreach meetings. On top, we also have finance meetings and things of that sort. These are all sub-meetings off our bigger fire board meetings. Everybody is welcome to those as well. We have a calendar of those on our website. So when you see those, feel free to attend. We want you there. We want public input. A lot of times, and as you well know, when we have our outreach meetings, it's just a couple of us, you know. Our outreach meeting is this Wednesday, or this coming Monday, sorry. Unfortunately, I won't be there, but I will have somebody there in my place. I'll be out of town. We do a lot of good in those meetings. We've been working really hard with the group to craft a better message of outreach for our fire district. And I think we're heading in the right direction. A lot of good ideas get bounced off of one another. For instance, it was two meetings ago, the Nixle thing wasn't even on my radar. And that's when I really started looking into it. And then everything in Santa Rosa really just kind of pushed that into high gear. But we want more participation because we want to know how to better reach you. We always want to know. We think we're doing a good job, but we have our own lens. We want the lens of the public to tell us if we're doing a good job or not. So please, come to those meetings. They're great. We love your input. We noticed our last meeting, we had a couple more people showed up that weren't normally there, but just come from another meeting, and they were surprised at how well these things went. So please come to our outreach meetings. Please come to our finance meetings. Please come to our fire board meetings.
Thank you.
Just one thing, Chief. I appreciate all you're doing, and I've been sort of watching the evolution here over the last couple of months and really impressed with what the fire district's doing. One item you could put on your list of 1,000 things to do is on Pulse Point. It's very interesting to see the calls that you guys run. It's available online if anybody wants it, but also to push the people who are AED and CPR trained that would be willing to respond.
Absolutely.
That, I don't know if anybody knows what Pulse Point is, but if a call comes out and I'm having a heart attack in this room, it'll send out a notice to people who sign up that if you'll come give me CPR, you might save my life because you'll get here before I can get behind
them. Yeah, so, and you know what? That's why we want to come to our meetings because for me, Pulse Point, I look at it as just another thing, but what a perfect idea that we start pushing on our social media. If you're a CPR trained person or you have an AED near you, please download this app and we'll take your help.
I was there when it was designed and I'm...
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, Chief Price and I were working on that. It's a great tool, and I think it's, like I say, given the how stretched the fire department is now, every second counts, and if somebody's willing, able, and trained and available, it's going to make a life-saving event for somebody in the community.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Thank you very much, Chief. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Next item, monthly water report. Forest water. Burn.
Thank you. For the month of October, staff continues to work safe, continue our safe practices, reaching $143,000 of safe work. And the month of October, we did CPR, first aid, and AED training, so we have a room full. All reports to the state on a monthly and quarterly basis were submitted on time. All wells are back in. We pushed out about 87 million gallons of water to the community. Flush four hydrants. You can see our water production is going down into our winter months as the production starts to fall off. And our reduction is still running about 23-24% compared to 2013. So good conservation there. Hypo use is dropping as the water demand drops. All parameters were well in below our permit. We did have those two hiccups in the first of the month due to the filters coming on that we talked about at the last meeting. That's those two there. Filter stations are running well. We did go out and do sewer assessments in October. We assessed over around 255,000 feet. We're going through that data now to see what lines we need to flush our TV. We inspect a little 590 manholes. Work order staff continue to do a good job keeping work to a minimum, a backlog to a minimum. And as things continue to improve, our call outs continue to become less and less. Things are going well. And hopefully next month our generator project is going on, and we'll have some updates on that next month.
Questions?
Yeah, one question, kind of just a trivia thing that struck me a little bit. Inspected over 590 manhole covers. How many total manhole covers do we have in town?
700 plus?
No, you have more than that. You have plus 1,000.
1,000, wow.
Whereas as we do the assessment, we pop them, look at them, and then any issues with the rest, we pass it on to work on the staff.
I'm just unaware we have 1,000 manholes on the street.
Then we know if some are covered up, so we'll have to locate those off.
We won't go with that. Yeah.
Any other questions for Virgil?
Great.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Next, moving on to business and action items discussion and possible action converting the remaining Cornell Park tennis pickleball. The general manager.
Yes. As an overview, the Park and Rec Committee has heard from the pickleball community and their desire to convert the Cornell Park tennis courts to pickleball courts. The pickleball folks state that if you bless this conversion, they are prepared to find outside funding to pay for it 100%. The Park and Rec Committee recommends that the board bless the conversion contingent upon the board later approval of a funding plan for costs of conversion, maintenance, repairs, and periodic restoration. I'll turn it over to Mac for more details.
I covered it all. Anyways, pickleball continues to remain a rapidly growing sport throughout the country. The need for additional facilities continues to become an important issue, especially here in Discovery Bay. So I'll just kind of go through a few of those details Mike was talking about real quick. So in July of 2013, the town converted one of the two existing tennis courts located at Cornell Park, creating two pickleball courts and leaving the remaining tennis court in place. Original plans here at the community center included upgrading six of the eight tennis courts
and converting tennis court 3 and 4 to pickleball. However, that option was eventually opposed by both the local tennis players and pickleball players. In December of 2016, staff submitted a recommendation to the board to maintain the community center tennis courts 3 and 4 for tennis only, maintain Cornell Park pickleball court, tennis court as currently configured, and as funding may become available, allocate those funds to finding a midterm solution for the expansion of pickleball on the Cornell Park tennis courts. Board direction at that time was to accept the staff report, but with no further action taken. At the September 27th Standing Park and Recreation Committee meeting, as Mike indicated, pickleball community representatives again addressed the issue of now repairing the existing court and converting the remaining tennis court to pickleball. As a result of that discussion, pickleball representatives were tasked with surveying adjacent property owners regarding noise and the possible conversion of the remaining tennis court. With general oversight by staff, a survey was conducted by representatives from the Discovery Bay pickleball community. The results of that survey are in your packet. In an effort to begin addressing the rapidly growing facility needs for pickleball community here in Discovery Bay, staff recommends the conversion of the remaining Cornell Park tennis court to 4 pickleball courts and to authorize staff to pursue funding alternatives, including initiating grant application or applications, and return to the board for a funding plan approval. So, any questions?
Questions?
Not at the moment, I'll wait till public hearing.
Okay. Okay, good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Super, thank you.
Three public comment. Randy? I think that's
awesome. Excuse me. Hello, my name is Randy LaForge, and I'm here on behalf of the pickleball, Discovery Bay pickleball, which the back few rows are filled with pickleball players. And we've been growing rapidly. We are in need, desperate need of more courts. We actually have 93 folks that have contributed financially to pickleball this year, you know, maintaining balls and et cetera. And we believe that converting that tennis court is the best solution for Discovery Bay. And I'll be glad to answer any questions.
I do have a question. I was on the Park and Rec Committee when the club made their request and looking for a recommendation. I just want to clarify one item that the general manager mentioned to make sure that we're clear. At our Park and Rec Committee meetings, it was stated that the pickleball club, if the board approved the conversion, they would be able to come up with funding at some point down the road, 100%, because the town doesn't have the funding at this point.
Right.
So is my understanding clear on that?
Yes, that's what we have agreed to do.
Yep. Okay.
I mean, but we haven't started it because...
Right, I understand. But end result,
mm-hmm.
The pickleball community is willing to fund the conversion.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Questions or comments? I went around and I you're all pickleballers, I can see that. What about the tennis players? How's their feeling? Are they happy? Are they acceptable to this?
Well, we did the survey and there were a few tennis players that were opposed and it's in the packet. But there are 8 other tennis courts. You know, so it just means they have to travel a little further.
I actually have a question, but I think it's probably for Mac. Mac, I probably should ask you this before you sat down.
Okay.
What hours are the tennis courts open here at the community center and lighted, and what hours are they open at Cornell Park?
Okay, so here, the courts are no longer lit. The lights were removed a number of years ago due to, I think, 1 or 2 poles fell over and there were some electrical concerns, so they were removed. So the courts are... basically daylight hours at the community center 7 days a week when we're here. So typically during the week, we're here about 7:30, 8 in the morning. Brian's crew opens the gate. They're here before we are, and it usually goes till dusk. And then obviously as winter comes on, light becomes less and less exposed sooner. At Cornell Park, I don't know offhand for sure, I think it's like starting at 8 o'clock in the morning is when the courts are available for public use. I don't recall offhand if there's actual a sign there. Do you remember, Brian?
No.
There's not, but we can always create a sign or put a stipulation on there, nothing before 8 o'clock, and then once...
Then there's no lights at that park either?
There's no lights at that park either.
Not for the courts.
Understood. Thank you for that clarification. Okay, well, that helps a little bit because that was going to bring up my next point, which is when you say they can't start till 8, there wasn't an ending time, but obviously if you can't see the ball, you're not going to play. So
exactly.
I swear there used to be lights at that park. Never, we never had lights at Cornell?
There are lights.
Huh?
There are pathways.
There was never lighted tennis courts out there?
No.
I believe that was only here.
Okay.
And that's no longer the case. Okay.
That's all I have.
Okay.
Any other board comments, questions? Any other public comment? Close public comment. Bring it back to the board.
Is there a
motion?
Well, because I've been involved with this, I'll go ahead and make a motion. I would like to just tweak the staff recommendation a little bit so that in case either we're not here and someone else is up here, if however long it takes in the future, we're clear about it, because the way I'm reading staff report, it's not quite as clear as I would like it. So let me attempt. We'll take the recommended conversion of the remaining Cornell Park tennis court to 4 pickleball courts and to authorize staff to pursue, and this is what I want to add, with the Discovery Bay Pickleball Club, funding alternatives, including initiating a grant application, and return to the board with, this is what I want to add, with a Discovery Bay Pickleball Club funding plan.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion is passed unanimously. Thank you all for coming.
I'm going to say you're really hard workers at trying to get your point across, and it looks like you've made a good job.
And you won't embarrass us anymore. So.
And you all kind of play with us, too. You go all down the deal.
Okay. Thank you all.
And Mike, too.
Okay, next item is discussion and possible action regarding stationary electronic signboards.
Yes, the Communication Committee is recommending that the board approve the electric signboard be installed at the Well Number 4 site, located off the east edge of Discovery Bay Boulevard, just north of Clipper Drive. Kelly is here to provide you with an overview of staff research and conclusions. Kelly?
Just say next slide.
So here's just a mock-up of what the sign will actually look like, and it's similar to the one that is currently at the Timber Point location. But they are, we do have quotes for a full color slide. Display, as opposed to they just have red text only on theirs. And so here is one of the possible site locations, which is in front of the community center, which is a 40-mile-an-hour zone, just to kind of give you a gauge of how fast people will be going by. And that would be a double-sided sign based on traffic coming in both directions. The Well 4 location would just be a single-sided sign, because you really can't see from the other side. I think it would impede traffic. And then here is a cost breakdown. I've spoken with electricians who can do installation as well. So here's the community center cost versus the Well 4 location cost. You can see it's quite a bit of savings based on the fact that at the community center, they have to actually trench through the parking lot and then repave and go out a lot further. At Well 4, it's an easier connection, as well as it being a savings on the cost of the sign itself being one-sided versus two-sided.
So staff recommendation is that our first sign should be located at the well number 4 location because of cost and ease of installation. And we also estimate that it'll only take probably from the time we order, they can start the pre-installation. It takes about 6 weeks to get the sign. So we could be up and running in a couple months, hopefully, once we pull the trigger on this, if that's what the board chooses to do.
Any questions for staff?
Well, not for staff per se, but maybe board discussion.
Any public comment? Hearing none. Lily, do you want to say anything?
I'm waiting.
We get back for board discussion.
Well, I do have some concerns about the sign. I think informing the community is a great thing. The difficulty I have with the permanent sign, first question is how often are we going to change the verbiage or the announcements or whatever we have that we need to notify the community about?
We would try to keep it fresh. If there's nothing to say, I don't see us putting anything on the sign, but maybe our Discovery Bay logo. But we would attempt to keep the messages fresh and pertinent. And if we have nothing to say, put the logo on.
Or what for Discovery Bay? Or,
perfect.
We have new verbiage every 2 weeks to announce the meeting.
That's true too. I'm not in favor of a permanent sign. I feel that our temporary sign works extremely well on emergency applications and or for special functions of that nature. The difficulty I have with this putting up a single sign is that a fair majority, and I would say at least 50% of the residents aren't going to see the sign. I would certainly be in favor of an additional portable sign, and couple of reasons. One is all of the community would have a chance or a better chance of seeing it. Number two, we have the radar capability on our portable sign. We could have it on another one. So from a safety factor, if we were to take and place these signs on the different streets, we might be able to help slow down some vehicles because of the radar factor. We've addressed the maintenance and costs and things of that nature, but I don't think we have man hours involved in that. But I just can't get behind spending $30,000 on a permanent sign when not all of the community would be able to benefit.
Thank you. Any other comments?
See if I can enlighten a little bit on what you just said, and I think they're valid comments. The sign, to try to cover, let me start back at the beginning. Communication, when I came aboard, communications was one of the big issues for the town, and that was when the water meter was coming in. So we've done a couple of things to help improve. Email blast is one, and we're seeing that grow on the number of people that signed up. But we didn't want to leave it with just that. We wanted other means. The little ticker board the construction grade ticker board out there is used and used quite often. And in my informal surveys, when I talked to residents that came to activities, a majority of the time, and this is not scientific, but a majority of the time, that's over 50% pointed to the sign that said, "I saw it on the sign." So I think it's effective, and you're right, it's one sign in a town that means more. I think as we try to improve communications, electronics is a good avenue to take, and it's very inexpensive overall. So you can't go out and buy, theoretically, we might need 6 signs. If you look at it, one to cover lakes, one to cover Lakeshore, one to cover Syntex, maybe Ravenswood, I don't know, Bixler, Newport. But we can't do it all at once. And I think what we should do as a board is to take a look at this and say this is a good starting point. We borrow the ticker board, we bring it over, let's put a permanent sign up. The budget's there. I believe the budget is about $80,000 for signs, so we're taking a small portion of that. My recommendation would be put it up. Let's see how it's received. Yes, it only gets a few. It's not all.
It's at least 15%. That's a lot more than a few.
Okay. I stand corrected. I think it will get quite a few. In addition, I think if there's articles for activities going on, you might even see the press come down and take pictures of the sign that says what the activity is. That would be an easy way for them, although I can't predict that, but I wouldn't doubt that. So I think it's a good starting point. That's what I'm saying. And I think it's a continuation of trying to improve the communication within the community.
Yeah, no, I would agree. This is something that's been discussed for years. Chris isn't here, but as the being on the board as long as I have been, this is something that goes back to previous boards, and we finally got to a point where I would agree with the points that the Director Mayor made, as well as the fact that if we get that sign, then we don't have to spend $12,000 on another portable sign, because we can now use that portable sign on the other side of town that's more available and accessible to lead in that direction. Not discounting Director Peace's concerns, that they make sense, but I just think that we do have to get started at some point with this, and I think that if nothing else, every 2 weeks we have a new event to put on the sign, and that's our board meetings. So between board meetings, committee meetings, which are now public meetings that, you know, this board made a decision to move forward with, I think we need have an obligation to notify people in the best possible way we can, and I do like the Well foresight, because it does it capture more people than it would if it was down here. I also feel that there's a board at the community center. It's really for the community center and probably should be budgeted through the community center and not necessarily through other means.
Jeff, any comments?
Yeah, that's kind of my point. If we spend $12,000 and get a second sign, now we have two signs versus spending $30,000 for two signs. The other point, and this is in the staff report. The Communications Committee concludes that there are a number of locations that are needed to ensure messages will reach all Discovery Bay residents, and I agree with that. If the first electronic sign proved to be effective, additional electronic sign boards should be considered for in the future. How are we going to measure how effective this is?
Yeah,
that's
public comment is probably the big thumbnail of how we would measure whether it's effective or not. I'm sure once we get this kind of board up, that if we decide to go this route, that we will hear from the public on what they think.
And if they think it's not worth it, then what?
You don't build another.
I agree with you.
As they say, nothing ventured, nothing gained.
For somebody to buy it.
My problem is the difference in the funding from $12,000 or so to $30,000, and we can, in my opinion, create the same community outreach. So it's a funding factor for me.
In a crude fashion, that's true. You can do the same thing with a different board. Just as one example is when I first came aboard and we had to get communications out fairly quick, and remember we sent out the trifold communications rather quickly, a quick way to try to fix a communications issue. And if I'm not mistaken, that ran us roughly $1,100 or $1,200. Pretty close?
Yeah.
Okay. Can't argue with me. That was just for one piece of communications could have been done at the cost of the sign. That was just one example of how it could have been used. And I think there's going to be more. And I think the community, in me asking the residents that came into the meetings here and some of the other locations, we can take the time to ask, what do you think? Was there help? What brought you here? It's an easy way for us to see and gauge whether that sign is effective or not. What I'm hoping is that once that sign is up, we're going to get complaints. And we'll get complaints from the locations that don't have the sign. And they'll ask us when we're going to put a sign up in their location. And that would really say we hit the button, the correct button. It's worth a try.
I just want to add, you know, we spend a lot of money on beautifying Discovery Bay. We spend a lot of money on our landscaping, and we spend a lot of money on the entrance to Discovery Bay. I think this is an enhancement to the professionalism of the town. As well, rather than just have a temporary construction trailer out there whenever we need to notify something. So this was the thought in the process that started this years ago, was we want to have something that doesn't detract from the beauty of Discovery Bay, like a temporary construction trailer.
And I would agree with you 100%. And when those thoughts were probably surfaced, Lakes and Lakeshore were not in the picture at that particular time.
It's not true, but I really have an aversion to every time I say something, have it be disputed here at the board. We're not here to argue with each other.
Well, I'm not arguing. I'm just stating a fact.
Okay, let me jump in.
It's point. Not true. They were there when this was talked about.
Let's move on to the item here. All good points. But the point that sways me is, you know, we're kind of a 21st century operation here. We've now gone through getting everybody certified, get the district recognized for the work that it's done. We've had issues trying to get information out to the community. So everything that we can do that gets that information out to the community, we ought to do it if we can afford it. This seems to me to be sort of a reasonable first step to achieve that goal. I mean, going to other cities, you know, this is not a novel approach. Signs like this are all over the state, probably all over the country. And by having an attractive sign up there with current and appropriate information, it's going to grab people's attention. And I'd like to have that kind of professional approach to the community so that they see that, they can weigh what they want to do with the information that's given to them. So I would support the staff recommendation.
I would make a motion that we take staff recommendation to put a one-sided sign at well 4.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
There's a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
3 aye, 1 no. Moving on to item G3, discussion and possible action regarding First Amendment to the MOU for development of the groundwater sustainability plan. General Manager.
On April 5th, 2017, the board approved the formation of Discovery Bay as a groundwater sustainable agency. On May 9, 2017, we entered into an MOU with other East County GSAs to jointly develop a groundwater sustainability plan for our collective portion of the Tracy Subbasin and to split the cost evenly. Tonight, staff recommends that you authorize the general manager to execute a First Amendment to the MOU that provides the terms for consultant contracting and cost sharing among the GSAs in the development of the groundwater sustainability plan, which we are required to do by law. Additionally, contained within the First Amendment to the MOU, there is a provision with a December 1st, 2017 deadline requiring Contra Costa County to elect whether to pay their fair share of costs or to provide in-kind services. The county is requesting a time extension on this decision until December 15th, 2017 in order to accommodate their county board meeting on December 5th. Staff recommends authorizing the general manager to waive this deadline and grant the requested extension. I'm here for any questions.
Any questions or comments?
Yeah, I don't have a question on the extension. I think it's a good one. The only question I have is on finance, and I'm just a little unclear. I know we have budgeted about $40,000 for fiscal year 17-18. Is that just for the cost for the GSB program just for our portion, 17-18? I know we're not quite sure on that. Or is that anticipated to get us all the way through whatever the plan needs to be?
Just 17-18.
Wow.
I will tell you this, that one of the things that we're employing the contractor to do is to apply for a Proposition 1 grant where we're shooting for $1 million. In fact, that was just submitted. And it's matching funds. Hopefully we won't be paying $1 million, but we went for the big amount, and hopefully if we get that grant, it's going to offset some of our costs. And we're also entertaining partnering with the San Joaquin County agencies to work over the entire sub-basin.
Thank you.
Any questions to staff? We've been talking about this at the East County Water Management Agency over a year, and in order to keep the state out of our groundwater basin, I think we should proceed with this as quickly as we can. I understand $40,000 is a lot of money, but there's a lot of work, and there's our water supply is the is the bottom line on this, and we want to preserve and protect that and keep other people out of it as much as we possibly can. So is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any other further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. No information items, director's report, standing committee reports.
We just had a internal operations meeting where we discussed communication challenges within the within the staff and the board, and those are being addressed by staff. And also, we talked about some upcoming meetings. I mean, I don't know why that's a bunch of saying anything like that. Hello?
To be heard on December 6th.
Yeah, on December 6th, there'll be a decision to some of the end of the year holiday challenges that we have with holidays and such. So that was those were really the two major things that were discussed. Did I miss anything?
No, just the calendars, public records.
Use of personal items and some policies that we have to bring forward to make sure that we're abiding and that we're clear and that we maintain that gold standard.
Finance committee.
You want it?
I'm chairman. Mayor.
You got it. Okay. We had a finance committee and we discussed three primary topics. One is the discussion related to street lights and fire hydrants. And that is, we had a light pole that fell many months ago. And we did some work on trying to figure out what our responsibilities were. And it wasn't easy coming up to speed. But just for an FYI, for those that want to know, and it's about taking out insurance on the poles in case they fall on property or harm someone. Fire hydrants, same thing, if it gets knocked off and then causes damage. So we did find out how many light poles we have in the town, and if we had a big crowd, we'd have a contest to see who gets the closest. You know, there's 1,000 manholes. Well, we have 692 light poles that we have to maintain. And fire hydrants, 543.
And we own and are responsible for those.
We own and are responsible. So we discussed the insurance policy practice for that, and we're continuing to do some work. In fact, we've made some decisions, but we'll ensure what we need to ensure, and I think that's okay. We also discussed the electronic check signature process. That's an internal thing, and it looks like that's processing through, which will make it a little more streamlined than signing dozens of checks all the time. And then we discussed the financial dashboards. And we're looking to see if we can't consolidate some of that and make it as easy as possible. I also went to the ECC FTD regular meeting where they swore in Battalion Chief Greg Azim. I hope I said
that. Can you help us out, Chief?
Ozan.
Did I say it right?
No.
Greg. Totally. How
yeah, it's Ozan.
Ozan.
Got to here. That was great. His son was there too, pin on his new badge. That was really good. I think the biggest takeaway for me on that night was the discussion calling out the all-male ballot election, reduce the size of the boards. We've talked about that before. They again voted on that, and it was a vote that they didn't expect it, but they had to vote also on at-large or by divisions. And it was the first time that I stood up and gave my opinion, and I identified myself as a board member, but I was there speaking for myself and opposed the at-large. And if you know what the at-large versus division or wards is, they'll do a vote of 114,000 residents in East Contra Costa County for the five seats on the board. And that's it. Five people will vie for 114,000 votes. If you go to divisions or wards, the county splits it up into divisions by population. And I mentioned this before, roughly, and I'm just reading rough figures. Brentwood is about 50,000, Oakley's about 35,000, Discovery Bay's 14,000, and the rest. Byron, Knightson, Bethel Island, and
Morgan Territory,
I think that's the one that was escaping me, are all about 1,000 or less. So as you look at the wards, they would be divided into Discovery Bay and parts of Oakley or Brentwood. So it gets a little difficult. And that was the argument that the board used, the 9-member board, when they were looking at it, said it's a little difficult, might not find people in there. There was a lot of reasons why. And I explained my stance on it, that the wards are the right way to go to give what we want to be on that board is we want a representation of the entire county. What we might get at large is five Brentwood members or four Brentwood members and one Oakley member. Which is what we have. Is that bad? To be seen. I would say no, it's not bad. But is it a proper representation? So they listened to me, they acknowledged it, as we do to many that come to this board, and then voted for the at-large. So a little disappointed, but that's the mail ballot that will come out. That was the biggest piece.
Do they have a time frame on that?
It goes out February, I think, the voting, February, March, I believe is what they said. And then they'll know, then it'll go back into the final November ballot. They also talked about cost recovery. That was a fire chief. Chief Helmut talked about cost recovery. So in their attempt to try to make sure that they have proper funds, there is, they are not today, if they go out to an emergency any place, they do not recover costs. But a lot of insurance pays, insurance companies pays for certain things. Truckers take a pole out, for instance, and cause a surge. So they are looking into that, and that's just an FYI. I thought it was an important piece. And lastly, if I'm not taking too much time here, I went to the neighborhood watch. Tony had presented that in the neighborhood where our the one gentleman was shot. And there was a real good turnout. There was, I'm guessing, 40 people, maybe a little bit more. And it was a real good presentation, talking about neighborhood watches, and he informed, so I went to, just to keep in touch and find out where we're going on this. Tony had said there were probably 14 or 15 neighborhood watches in Discovery Bay many years ago, and today it's down to single digits. And really looked at it and said that we're very trusting, that we are a very trusting society, and we think everything is taken care of. So neighborhood watches is not a bad thing, and meeting went well, and I hope to see something maybe rise up from that. That's all.
I have a question, and I'm trying to get to my email here that says, so they just put our supervisor for our district just put out a request for people to apply for the 9 seats that are on the fire board. Is there an election that's going to occur prior to just...
No, actually, the November will be finalized. I believe it's going to be, don't quote me on this, because I think they do this all mail. Mail out vote for the residents to send in, and if they select the 5 and the at-large, then that will go on to the November ballot.
Okay. Yeah, they're asking for 9 people. 2 are appointed by the Contra Costa Board of Supervisors.
Well, that's the way it works.
Okay.
Are there any manager's reports? General manager's report?
Yes, the town of Discovery Bay Parade of Lights is taking place on December 2nd at 6 p.m. We will have 1 to 2 dignitary vehicles available for board members who wish to ride in the parade. Participant staging starts at 4 p.m. at the Yacht Club. Please let Sue know by 4 p.m. this Friday if you will be participating, and flyers with specifics about the parade have been placed in front of you, but we need to know so we know how many cars to have available for you, etc.
Okay.
Also, I wanted to mention that under correspondence in the agenda, you will see a letter from PG&E explaining how and to whom our residents can file a claim for damages resulting from the electrical outage caused by a truck accident on October 26th. We put that letter on our website, sent out an email blast, and notified the press in order to get the word out on that. That concludes my report.
Can I just say thank you, staff, for all the work on making sure that we help the citizens that were confused. I saw a lot of activity in next door that said they were going to PG&E and it was being denied and they didn't know where to go, so it really helped.
Thank you. Any future agenda items? Council, move to closed session.
Thank you. The Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors will adjourn into closed session for the item listed on the agenda as 01.